Welcome back, everyone. I've got another episode of The X, and today I'm really excited because I've got Mark on here from Railtown Media, but it's changed, and he's going to tell you what it's changed to. He's the he's the lead of the operation, but the founder, and he's also responsible for doing all the ads in my business. And I'm really excited today because Mark and I are going to do a live case study, like taking apart brick by brick my business and talking about us working together over the last, like, I want to say like three years in my business. So Mark, hi, it's great to have you on today.
Brenda, thank you so much for having me. Really excited about our session here today and really excited to kind of dive into a live case study.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about your business, who you help, what it's all about, and even like how it's kind of evolved for you.
Yeah, so Railtown, we are celebrating our sixth year anniversary actually this month, at the end of the month. So we've kind of found our place in the market as a digital marketing agency. We like to say that we drive scalable growth, and we achieve that primarily through online advertising. That's really kind of our sweet spot. Railtown, we recently went through a rebrand, and while we still maintain the brand Railtown, we are now have our tagline as the change agency. We really kind of like to step in and change those metrics for the better. That's what we like to do. And that's the outcome that we like to achieve for our clients, is setting and achieving their business goals and driving real impact in the world.
Do you mostly work with like big businesses? Do you work with small entrepreneurs? Like, what's the sort of the span?
Yeah, we work with a range of clients. We like to work with interesting clients. That's part of the reason why I started Railtown, was to work with a diverse group of clients. So we do work with some more solopreneurs and new startups, all the way through to some bigger players. On the bigger side of the space, we do specialize in B2B marketing. We work with SaaS companies, we work with some manufacturing companies, and kind of everything in between.
Cool. All right. So let's talk a little bit about, I want to kind of pick your brain a bit about like kind of what you're seeing in the sort of digital ad online space, like going into 2024. What are some like themes or trends that are like really hot right now?
I don't know if you heard about this thing called generative AI. It's kind of the end all be all everywhere right now, including in the marketing realm, specifically in digital. So a lot has kind of revolved around, really around AI. Of course, there's ChatGPT and Copilot and the actual tools themselves. But the broader impact in the digital marketing ecosystem is that ad platforms and digital platforms are really kind of integrating AI into how we use them every day. So I would say, even in our experience working together, then we launched with responsive meta ads. And that meant that we could upload multiple headlines, multiple post text lines, descriptions, the whole works, images, video. And then we would kind of let Meta optimize. Now, fast forward a few years later, with AI, a lot of that is going to likely get automated. So it's going to be a very light lift in terms of what we need to do to develop creative, and it's going to be up to the platforms to decide how to mix and match it to resonate with your audience. So a lot of advantages to that approach, but also then you really kind of need to get back to the foundational elements of marketing, and that is knowing your target audience, knowing how to position your product or your solution or your services. And it's really all foundational, because if you don't have that foundation, AI is not going to help to optimize your campaigns.
Right.
So I think that's really kind of one of the key changes that we've seen as of late.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that it's just going to continue to explode, right? All the opportunities. I know some people might be listening and going, yeah, I've tried ChatGPT and it's not the best for my business. And it may not be, but I think the reality is the platform and any other generative AI tool is just going to continue to evolve. The more users that access it, the more intelligence it gets, and it will adjust, right? And it's just going to get better and better, just like you've probably seen in the ad space, like whether or not you've used Google Ads, you know, for the last 10 years, or Meta Ads, like where the platform was and where it is now is completely different. So, and like anything, the more people that use it, experiment with it, and give feedback on it, I think that's the key thing. Those platforms are going to listen, and they want to be competitive, and they will adjust. What else are you seeing that's really hot in the online space right now?
Yeah, so I know that in your business, that email is one of the core tactical elements of what you do. Email has changed significantly, kind of over the pandemic. I think there was a lot of people that were working remote, working at home. And I don't know if you notice it in your inbox, but the number and the volume of sales emails I receive has gone up significantly, like in the hundreds of emails a day. And that's not, I'm not over-exaggerating for to emphasize that. Really, I think there's hundreds. LinkedIn, your LinkedIn inbox, my LinkedIn inbox at least has, is very much so the same. So Google, Yahoo, other big players in the Outlook, Microsoft Outlook, other big players recently kind of said, hey, email, it's gotten out of hand. We're going to need to make it a little bit more challenging for marketing and sales messages to get through. We need to maintain the sanctity of people's inboxes, because it's just too much noise. Therefore, then here, as of the beginning of February of this month, email authentication has changed. It means that you need to update some settings to your email. It's not so challenging to do, but you need to know how to do it, and you need to know how to kind of get into the back end technical sides of your business or work with a partner that can do that. So that's, I think, one of the ways that the world is evolving is recognizing that maybe there was a little bit too much heavy-handed marketing and sales messaging. People do need to have a better experience online, and some of the big players are now helping to kind of drive that forward.
Yeah, I know about Google and Yahoo making those announcements and not even really giving users enough time to make those adjustments. It was kind of like almost less than 30 days. And well, I think it was like Google maybe gave like 6 weeks notice, and then Yahoo came right in like 4 weeks, with 4 weeks notice. I managed to make those changes, but I think a lot of times people are relying on their email provider to make sure that, they weren't necessarily having bounced messages. Now you're going to have to do something like those platforms like Google and Yahoo have like kind of forced it onto not just relying on your email provider to make sure you're a legitimate operation, but making sure you're doing it. And, I mean, I've shared that with my community is making sure your email lists are, cleaned up. I know people that have like 40,000 users and they're like, spamming people 24 times a day type of thing. And I'm just like, I have a very small list and I continually every 6 months clean it up, do a little purging. If you're not interested in my emails, I'm not gonna send you stuff and spam you. I want my stuff to go to the right people that need it and that want it. So yeah, that's good that I think it's good that platforms are doing that because I think maybe we're getting a little bit sloppy with our email marketing and now that just means businesses have to kind of clean up their act around it. And like, what are you seeing as far as like new businesses, like even just going into ads? Like I have like a lot of times my clients will say to me, I don't have enough leads. Should I start doing ads right now? And I'm like, well, you are on one social media channel. You don't have a sales page on your website. Like for me, it's like, you got to have some fundamentals in place. Because when you like my sort of theory, and I'll get you to answer this, but like, it's kind of like you're inviting people to come to the party and you don't have the appetizers out yet, right? And you don't have the drinks, like, or you have the drinks out, but no cups. And it's kind of like you need to have like a personal brand message. You need to be able to talk to people. You need to be able to share your offers, maybe you have some social proof out there before you start doing ads. What's your sort of thought on that for like the new entrepreneur?
Yeah, great question. I think it's, it's that chicken and egg dilemma. Do you start running major ad campaigns before you've really fully validated your business, or you have that social proof, you have a testimonial or a case study or something that you can kind of prove yourself with? When it comes down to it, I really think it is about building some of those foundational aspects before looking at scalability. And part of that is, honing in on your message, honing in on your audience, and testing some of those organic channels, LinkedIn, Instagram, more of the social channels. I think as you're starting out, it's challenging to prioritize where you want to be. And it really is about finding where your audience is and doing as much as you can there, with the amount of resources that you have. And starting out, I think it always comes down to kind of that resource allocation. And once you kind of build up some resources from your business, then the next step, I think, is naturally to scale up, be it through advertising, be it through investing more in social, be it through those channels that are really working for you. But what I can say with confidence is ads are a very easy switch, and you can flip that switch at any time. Budgets are very flexible. Platforms are very flexible. The amount that you can scale up and the time that you can do it in, is very flexible. So a lot of advantages once you get over onto the ad side, but it is pay to play. And it can command a premium, in particular for specialized businesses. And in our portfolio, we do find that a lot of our businesses find success by being highly specialized. And that also means then it can be quite competitive too.
So the premium piece, I mean, what I sort of interpret that is, and I mean, you and I've worked together in my business, which I want to make sure we get into with the case study, but also in past businesses in our corporate lives. I just remember, clients, mutual clients that we'd be working with that, would want to do an ad campaign, but then, when they don't necessarily see the numbers coming in by week two, they're like, okay, I want to cut it back. And our whole thing was like, sometimes you have to like, just as much as you want to nurture your community around this product or service that you're advertising for, you also have to nurture the platform that you're on. Like, it's not just like, I appreciate the fact that there's all this flexibility that you can do with it now. But you still need to kind of, when you dip your toe in the pond, you got to stay there a little while. What's your sort of take on that, right? Like, if you're in and you're out, you're in, you're out, like, it's kind of hard to kind of get that continuity in your business, but I could be wrong with that.
No, I think you nailed it. It is very challenging. Like anything, if you don't really give it the if you don't give it the investment that it warrants to see success, you are not going to find success. So in our business, we like to prioritize always on campaigns. So for our clients, we tend to say, please stick with one platform. That's going to be your primary platform. If your objective is lead generation, or if it's, really kind of seeding demand intent, maybe through more brand awareness type campaigns, we want to focus on one of those key aspects that your ad should be achieving. And we want to continue to do that. It's easy then to layer in flighted campaigns. So for example, in our work together, we've put together Black Friday campaigns. And that is a timely campaign that makes a lot of sense, when complemented by that baseline always on advertising campaign. Really just want people to be aware of your brand and want a brand to be discoverable, at all times. So if you move over into that realm of advertising to scale up, it is important then to maintain that discoverability. And it does take time really to kind of realize the impact of the campaigns and the ads. And with the dynamic nature of advertising content these days, like we're using responsive ads with multiple images and text, it takes some time to see what's really working well.
Yeah, actually, the Black Friday campaign or, Boxing Day, wherever you are in the world, campaign is interesting because for me, I'm a business coach and I'm still going to run a Black Friday campaign, but I am competing because I always think about like share of wallet. I am competing with the consumer out there that might be looking for business coaching, but they're also in it to buy like a good deal on a stereo this weekend or a new refrigerator for their kitchen. So it's like, it's kind of like, am I going to compete with the Walmarts that are selling refrigerators and dishwashers and stuff like that and the Best Buys? Or am I trying to like get a client? So for me, it's like, I don't mind playing in that pool, but I'm also, my expectations are low that someone's not going to like sign up for like my high ticket offer that week because most likely they're looking for a Black Friday deal on a fridge or a stereo. Or speakers for their car than they are looking for business coaching that week. But if I happen to show up in between a Best Buy ad and a Walmart ad, then that might be cool. And they may, end up following me on Instagram and then buying my product later, signing up for my email list, those type of things. So I tend to have like more low ticket offers and low expectations that people are going to sign up immediately to work with me. It's just kind of like, I just want to play in that pool because a lot of people will be online that weekend looking for deals, looking for bargains, but they may not be thinking about business coaching. So I don't know. What's your take on that? Like, 'cause I think for the small entrepreneur, they might be like, well, do I want to, maybe I shouldn't compete against a Black Friday promotion. I'm like, nah, I think you should be out there. But just know that it might not be the windfall week for you.
To your point, I think that you should be out there. And it's about finding those moments that resonate with your audience and timing your campaigns accordingly. So in, for example, drawing from the B2B software world, we do tend to see more activity in January, February, March, leading into those summer months. And then back again when kids are back in school in September and there is a drive to get some things done before the end of the year. Those are good peak times for B2B software. Similarly, for business coaching, like you say, timing it around periods where people are actively shopping makes a lot of sense. And managing expectations along with that. But they can be key periods that do drive big wins. And if you never give it a go, and it doesn't take much in terms of advertising, it is very, very, very scalable. You do not need to invest a lot to get some really meaningful data that can then inform future campaigns.
I don't
So
know.
no,
Tickets are from
it's
Beyoncé on the Super Bowl weekend, right? She launched two. songs or whatever over Super Bowl weekend. She knew like her audience would be watching the Super Bowl and online and all this other stuff. And she launched like, you know, two big songs for herself, right? And did really well on the weekend as far as like sales in her new album. So yeah, I just think there's, you know, lots of opportunity to sort of think that way, where it's like, yeah, like everyone's gonna be tuning into football, but I'm gonna launch my, you know, new record, my new album. And so that's gonna, you know, get people looking at it and consuming it. You know, and maybe in other times when I wouldn't necessarily be launching it. Can we go into my business a little bit and do this case study?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, okay, like refresh my memory. We've been working together on my business for 3 years.
Think it's been about 3 years at this point.
That when I launched my first quiz 3 years ago, and that's when I was so my brand back then was the Three Uniques brand, and I was talking about what makes you unique, and I was doing a lot more sort of leadership business coaching, but more sort of I would say like 70% on the leadership life coaching side of things. And then somewhere in the last 3.5 years, well, last summer, I shifted over towards more business coaching. So just your take, like what have you seen since like we first initially started working together in the ad space?
So I think when we first started working together, it was very exploratory at that point in time. You really had a strong foundation and you had these lead magnets, and that was really kind of core to the offer. We needed something to get in front of people that would captivate their attention and move them to take action. And the quiz was a very compelling campaign to do that. It was attention getting. It made you want to click. It invited you in. The offer, it was a free quiz, still to this day. And if you go back to the advertising adages of the legacy advertising world, free always works. And in this case, free worked again. That's been proven time and time again. So it is, I think it was very much so when we first started. It was positioning that, but also we did a lot of audience testing early on. I think that audience testing kind of helped to dictate future lead magnets and future business opportunities. And very quickly evolved from just being about the quiz and targeting the quiz to, how should we more broadly target your business and how we're getting in front of that audience?
So
How does that?
I was just going to ask you about audience testing. So like what are examples of audience testing? 'Cause I'm trying to think like, yeah, we did audience testing. What does that mean? What does it mean?
Good question. So audience testing then. So the advantage of a lot of the digital marketing platforms these days and advertising platforms is the sophisticated audience targeting. So when you look at Meta, they're very much so, it's interest-based, it's demographics, and it's Meta has a wealth of data on a lot of individuals. And putting that all together on their ad platform allows us to really kind of activate levers that we think would resonate in terms of the creative and the execution. When you look at a platform like LinkedIn, which is more about that professional network, it's a much different audience, and it's also a different creative approach with, say, a platform like LinkedIn. But what it boils down to with respect to your business in particular, then, when we first launched, we looked at different types of interest targeting. Geo-targeting was a really key component. Because your business can reach the globe, it is I would say at that point where it was, and maybe still then today, it's a global business. You can reach Gen X women leaders from all over. So when we launched early on, then it was targeting. We targeted, I believe it was North America to start, and then we did layer on some additional geographies. Found that we could generate a lot more lead volume or a lot more quiz completions that way. But looking then on the back end, on your side, with the metrics in terms of what was coming through, maybe they weren't as strong of fits. So when we launched your most recent update to your quiz, we did take a much more targeted approach in terms of geography, and maybe focused a little bit more on expanding the interests then, so that we were reaching still a large audience, and generally large audience or larger audience. Meta will help you find the people within that audience that you are targeting that your message is most going to resonate with.
Yeah. Well, and even looking back, just so that the listeners can understand, like when I think about my business when we first started doing ads, when it was the Three Uniques business, I had really just sort of like one signature offer. I had my group coaching business, and the price point on that was $5,500 for 12 months of coaching. You know, had lots of feedback from people that I should have priced it higher, like 12,000, 15,000, all those type of things. But I was happy with the 5,500, and I was getting in, I felt like the right audience. for that price point. And one of the things that I shifted to, actually, before I talk about what I shifted to, like with my rebrand last summer in 2023, but while I was still doing the Three Uniques brand and messaging and had the quiz that was set up around that and had really kind of like one signature offer, is that when we did that geo targeting and we went broader, and we were going into different spaces, like around the world, when we were like sort of pinpointed on like major cities, say in North America, that $5,500 price point didn't seem to be too much of an issue. But when we started going into like more broader areas, different countries, different economic backgrounds, not to say that people in some of the countries that we went into couldn't afford a $5,500 price point, but yeah, maybe not. Maybe that was too much of a, you know, get the free quiz to 5,500, like that leap was too big. And so one of the things that I started doing with this rebrand is I started bringing in some smaller ticket offers. So I've got my community that's $5 now. I've got some courses that are like $17, $37. So I think that's one of the things that I want to look at for 2024 is go back to some of those broader locations and now bring them in, like have more of an ascension model around my offers. And if I'm going to go more global, it's like, well, just recognize when you're going outside of like Vancouver, Toronto, New York City, yeah, you're going to get people from different backgrounds, different, different economic levels, and they still want to work with you, but you got to have some different sized offers to meet their needs.
Yeah. And I think that evolution of the business, it was very much so those key learnings from those, even just those first few months, have helped kind of guide that direction. And I think that is the impact of what advertising or I wouldn't even say advertising. It was, you drove that business decision as a business leader that we and empowered us as your agency to do some different targeting, to try some different things early on. And that really did kind of inform subsequent campaigns. And now fast forward to present day, where, to your point, different offerings for that may align better with what people are searching for or what makes the most sense. I think that is very much so kind of the power of combining all of the aspects of, you know, a business that can be better facilitated through, say, advertising and a focus on analytics and data that underlies it all.
So when you think about my business now and, you know, where sort of things are at with the rebrand, with who, like my niche is like, because also my niche before was broader. Like I was coaching men, women. You could be an entrepreneur. You could be a business owner. You could be an individual contributor. I wasn't really sort of fussed about level, position, etc. But now I'm really focused more on the midlife woman entrepreneur. And then with the rebrand, it's really focused on building out this community. And then, you know, one of the things, you may know this, may not know this, but I'm focusing more on one-to-one coaching. You know, like when I was starting my business, all the coaches that I was working with were like, get out of the one-to-one. You're going to burn yourself out. You got to get into group. So I did all the group stuff, but then I found that like still people wanted to work with me one-to-one. They weren't fully like ready to kind of like open the full kimono in group. They wanted to kind of still have like the Brenda only time where they could keep things confidential, you know, troubleshoot some things one-to-one with me and then go into group, like still looking good. So this year I've like started to bring back more one-to-one coaching and I love it because I can go deeper with my clients and see, you know, faster transformations because we're not being too broad. So, and then like I've mentioned, I've brought in like, you know, these sort of smaller ticket or smaller offers. What would you say, like when you think about sort of like my advertising strategy for 2024, that I should really be like based off of like what you're seeing out there, the trends, what do you think I'm on track with? And what do you think I'm like off or need to put in place?
In terms of what you're on track with, I do think that segmentation and extending the offers and more of a variety of offers makes a lot of sense because those lower value offers do generate leads that can then later convert for higher value offerings. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the campaign execution, we can build campaigns that activate that audience effectively too, but we need some minimum sizes we need a few hundred people within an audience list that we can remarket to them. So we can say, hey, you signed up and you joined the community, but now here's this higher value offer. Once we have a large enough list, we can upload it to Meta and we can say, hey, Meta, we want to reach these people with this message, and it is going to be that upsell offer, and not to upsell to upsell, but because it's going to drive more impact within that for those people. Like, that's
Yeah, they
ultimately
want it.
still an altruistic motive behind it. As much as it is about, selling more and driving more revenue. So, and then in terms of areas of opportunity, for us working together here, you'll know it when I say it, and that is going to be creative execution. So we are a media agency. We do the buys, we run the ads, we put them in market. And when it comes to creative, the realm of creative, is dynamic. And that's, what is your ad copy? What is the messaging? What are the images? What are the videos? And we've seen it where, short and sweet, it really works well in the ad space. But what we've seen on your organic channels is that longer form copy and content tends to work better. Or if we look to the broader coaching community, what's working well? It's long form content and long form copy. Videos are fantastic assets, especially on Meta. They resonate, they drive a lot of clicks, but to actually produce a video takes a lot of effort, and to do it well takes even more. So we've had an experience, and it's been a privilege to work with you because you action these opportunities. You've provided us with video, and video does work, but it does take a bit more of it does take not even a bit more effort. It takes more effort to put assets out in market that are going to resonate. So looking to the future then, as we start to diversify the offerings, and recognizing still that the creative is so critical and core to it, I think it is. How do we best put the creative together so that it is going to drive the right type of performance and build those lists that we can then remarket to, and we can get a lot more of the value of an all-encompassing full funnel marketing approach with multiple offers and multiple assets. And how that all fits together, I think that will be more evident as it all rolls out.
So, I mean, you mentioned long form content, so blogs. What else would it be examples of long form content?
Yeah, even as much as your organic social posts, so the caption underneath your Instagram image, but specifically long form content, is still the core to ranking high for organic search. And still a lot of it is about owning your voice or owning your brand. Generative AI has stepped in, and we've seen it with Google. In September of 2023, Google released what they call a helpful content update. So it is what it sounds like. They just wanted to make the web a little bit more friendly, and they want people to find helpful content. So more of an answer or more of a story than fact-based. But in my experience, when we look back at the beginning of the pandemic, you conduct a Google search. Hey, Google, how do I pull this report in Google Analytics? And I would get a blog post, and it would be the 10 best ways to build reports in Google Analytics. And it was very clickbaity, and it would be a list, and it didn't offer a lot of value. And I really had to kind of, I'd have to do a lot of heavy lifting to find something that was what I was looking for, or just try and figure it out on my own. Google now is, Google went through that. They kind of said, you know what? That's not the content that people want to find. Then generative AI came out. There's a whole lot of content online. Google even started not indexing content. So we saw it in our client portfolio, and even on our own website, our company website for Railtown, that content wasn't indexing, or it would take 3 months or 6 months before it would be indexed.
Oh, really?
And it seemed like it was just so much written content was being generated that search engines were having a challenging time determining what was valuable content and what people wanted to read and what wasn't. Finally, here at the beginning of this year, we're starting to see Google index a little bit more proactively again. We're starting to see content rank. We're starting to see the other side of what seems like it's been a bit of a black hole in organic search. So when it comes to core opportunities for your business, then content is back on the table in a very big way. But it is, we have clients that work with copywriters. Still, that human touch is absolutely critical. Generative AI, great for proofreading, great for ideation. And I don't want to make this all about AI because it's not all about AI, but it is that human. It can never downplay the kind of that human component to any of the digital marketing that's done, and that really plays out prominently in content, be it blog posts or organic social posts, or even just organic videos and video content.
Okay, good ideas there. And long form also in the short form of video could also be YouTube. So I, you know, like one of the things that I'll talk to people about, like Riverside is actually a really great platform. That's what I'm recording our podcast on today. So the cool thing about Riverside, I used to do all my podcasts on Zoom. So yes, I would get the video from Zoom, but then I had to do all this manual editing of the video to get what I really needed to create multiple forms of content. So taking a page from Gary Vaynerchuk or from what you're saying as far as like, you know, really leveraging a piece of content. So I can record this podcast on Riverside. The cool thing that Riverside will do is it'll also, once I'm done with this, it will produce a transcript of our conversation. I can cut and paste that transcript into ChatGPT if I want and say, take out all the, you know, fluff and give me the key points and create a blog post or you know, a 10 slide carousel post for Instagram out of this, you know, podcast that I did with Mark. I can also ask Riverside to, like, just with a click of a button, come up with 5 to 7 short video clips of you and I talking today. Like, it just does that automatically for me. It's called Magic Clips. And you just like press the Magic Clip button. 10 minutes later, it's edited the content and produced like 5 to 7 under 60-second videos that I can take and put onto TikTok or put onto Instagram Reels or YouTube Shorts. I can take this long form version and now put it on YouTube. I can add it to my podcast channels. Like there's so many things I can do off of one platform, which is Riverside. And I just want to encourage people like to, you know, you can just create all this content from one video. It's so cool.
Like magic, that, well branded. That does sound like some
Yeah,
magic
no,
out of the
they have
back
it.
end there.
It's like
I'm,
their,
it's pretty
yeah,
simple.
it's their proprietary trademark. They've got it like trademark, but they call it Magic Clips. And you know, like we used to go to Magic Clips to get our haircut, right, in high school, for like you know a whatever, like a $5 haircut or something, and it looked like it. But the cool thing with Magic Clips on Riverside is that it helps you create all this like amazing content, and you can edit it, and you know. But I think it's allowing people to, you know, be in that creative content space. So I love hearing, because you see it on Instagram, like content is dead or content's not king. And you're saying, no, content is still big. And Google's like, you know, taking that back again and making sure that it's a priority for its users. Anything else that you think, like, I mean, if I was starting up my business today, and so this is for everybody that's sort of like thinking about starting up their business, ads, but also just in the digital marketing space, what would you say would be like the top five things? Like you must do this before you do something else. What would those five things be?
Yeah, great question.
Coming from Mark
So,
Spiegel.
number one is your web experience, and it's often going to start with your website. So, find a platform that you'd like to use, find a platform that's easy to use, or find someone that's find a partner that can help you with your website. Squarespace, great platform, easy to use. WordPress is built for blogging, but it maybe requires a bit more technical proficiency. A lot of different options out there, but find one that you like and find one that that you're comfortable with, or that your team or your partners are comfortable with, and own it. We still like to say your website is like your digital handshake, and it's often one of the first touch points that someone will have with your brand. Maybe social, but website pretty core. Analytics would be kind of second on that priority list. You do not need to have an advanced analytics approach to gain value out of it. It can be as simple as tracking growth metrics month over month. How many new users did you have to your website in January? A lot of these platforms will have metrics built in. We often recommend that clients, or will help clients actually build out a dashboard that has no more than 10 KPIs. It could be web metrics, it could be new contacts, it could be new leads, it could be revenue. But just kind of hone in on a few things that are most important to your business, and keep tabs on them. And from the start, it maybe isn't going to be a lot of, you're not going to see a lot, but you will see the growth when it happens if you're monitoring it. And you can then unlock option number three, levers that you can pull. So kind of building out your marketing foundation, then it is recognizing those levers that you have the ability to pull to drive more activity. So it could be advertising, it could be generating more organic content, it could be being more active on a social platform like LinkedIn or Instagram. But look and see what you have the resources to do or what you think would make sense to outsource and make it happen. I would
Oh, that's like
say
eight for
yeah, four, five. I think four is kind of, going like what we're doing here today. It is taking pause and doing a bit of a snapshot to see where you've been and where you are and where you plan to go. You can follow a normal business cadence, a quarterly schedule or a monthly schedule. But even doing, we have some clients that started off as, they had a small 6-person, 10-person team. They're now 50, 60 people. When we first started off, we look at the metrics, once a year. We do a marketing recap of performance at the end of well, actually even midway through their fiscal year, and that would inform a lot of the marketing activities moving forward. And that was hugely beneficial. Now, as they've grown, we've also increased the cadence of those review sessions and kind of those snapshots. And then last on the list, yeah, it's like I think through like yeah, number five. Like even through our work together, it's I think about recognizing the opportunity based on what's working and what isn't, and navigating that with intent. And still keeping that core audience always at mind. Your audience will evolve over time, and continuing to focus your marketing efforts on reaching that primary audience, even if that audience evolves, remains core. And that's just kind of good marketing in a nutshell. It is all about people and kind of all about that human element.
Love it. Sorry to like make you have to come up with five. Maybe three would have been better, but like they're all
I almost
they're good.
paused,
They're good. Like
but
you work with it. They were awesome. So Mark, like you're obviously a business owner, and whenever I have a business owner on the podcast, like I mean I want to hear about everything that you do to support your clients, but what are some of the things that you're doing this year to even grow your community, grow your email list? Just kind of curious. What's like your number one thing?
On the topic of podcasts, Railtown is also pursuing the podcast opportunities and video case studies. So recognizing the value that video brings to the table, that is something that we have prioritized. Furthermore, then it is about, scalability. So we talk about scale with our clients all of the time. How are you scaling your business? What levers can you pull to drive more revenue growth and more impact? For Railtown, we've kind of reached that. We've reached that threshold. Like, what is next for Railtown? And it's a little bit bigger than where we're at right now. So right now, we're aligning with our network to see where there is opportunity for further growth. It is really kind of speaking to the existing clients that we have in our portfolio and looking for further opportunities with them and with their networks. We like the people that we work with, and we want to work with more people like that. The modern marketing agency, it used to be the case that if you were a big brand, you'd go and work with the big agency, and that's how that engagement went. Marketing has become increasingly complex, like we've explored on the call here today. There are a lot of different mechanisms at play right now, be it on the platform side, be it with the ease or some of the challenges with generating content and getting it discovered or making it discoverable. So I think for our business then, scalability, part of it is forging relationships with other marketing agencies and marketing professionals. We each kind of bring our own expertise and specialty. So we partner with a creative agency. They do really great creative execution, but they are not an advertising agency in terms of running campaigns. We work with content writers. So it is, I think, recognizing where those respective strengths are in the agency landscape and capitalizing on them in a way that drives better outcomes for our portfolio and for future clients as well.
I love that. I love that you also offer that to your clients so that, 'cause sometimes, I've worked with smaller, like I want to work with that small, unique, contractor or agency, But then they'll say, well, you know, this is where our scope ends. And it's like, great, now what do I do? Like, you know, like you've told me I actually need this whole thing, but that you only do 20% of that strategy. So now where do I go? So the fact that you are also partnering with other agencies where you, like, you can actually do the full relay race, not just one leg of the, you know, baton pass, and then, you know, the client's back to like doing these things on their own, which is amazing. Anything that you would say to your newbie self, knowing where you're at with your business right now as a business owner, if you could go back in time and say, hey, Mark, watch out for this or do more of this, what advice would you give them? What's one piece of advice?
You know, I was recently listening to your podcast to prepare for this one here today, okay. And I can't remember who it was, but they said, I wish that I had started earlier. And I think I'm going to have to steal that because I really love what I'm doing here today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, working with you and working with these clients that are doing some really neat things. Like, it's exhilarating to wake up every day and help drive that forward. And it's exciting and dynamic. And I wish that I had done it sooner. So I think that's what I would tell my former self. But also, you know, don't downplay the value of the career path and how I've navigated it, because it did lead to this point here now. And, mm-hmm. And I think that's a pretty great place. So, yeah. You know, a lot of experimentation, a lot of trying different things.
And I echo the same thing. Sorry. Yeah.
No, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So what was the last thing you said in there about experimentation? I cut you off.
Oh, no, I think core to my career has always been experimentation and finding those opportunities that are a little bit unique, and marketing makes that quite, there's a lot of opportunity in marketing for experimentation and exploration. And I think that's something that keeps me going and drives me forward and brought me to this point here. And if I had to reflect and say something that I would not change about the last few years, or, you know, early on in my career, is embrace that experimentation and exploration.
Awesome. So Mark, where can we find you at Railtown?
Yeah, find me on LinkedIn. Mark Kubinar is on LinkedIn, or Railtown Media Inc. We also have a website, railtownmedia.com. And always happy to connect, always happy to grab a virtual or in-person coffee just to chat marketing. Love to kind of hear about the latest in entrepreneurial space. So always open for chats about marketing and entrepreneurship, and happy to connect. I think LinkedIn is the place, but okay. Kind of all over online. Yeah.
Mark, it's been awesome having you on the X today. And it's awesome to have you as a partner in my business. And I wish you all the success in 2024. Thanks for all the advice that you've shared with us today and advice too for me and my business. Thanks again. It's been awesome.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, and really enjoyed chatting with you today. And big shout out to your community, and thanks so much.